We all wrestle with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Of those three, pride is probably the one that trips us up more commonly than anything else. That's because pride is often very subtle and we might not even be aware of it within ourselves. Well, we can see it easily enough in others, but not so much when we're looking in the mirror. We might even be so bold as to call someone prideful, but would loathe being accused of pride. Since James chapter 4, verse 6 says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, pride is serious business. Who in the world wants to be resisted by God? And yet, so many times, pride gets the best of us, and we soon find out that God means exactly what he says. James 4, verse 10 says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." We really have just a couple of choices. We can choose God's resistance, or we can choose his assistance. The choice is up to us. It sure seems simple enough, but as with all sin, pride can have some devastating consequences, things that you wouldn't see coming until they happen. So please turn to Judges chapter 9, where we will see what happened to Gideon's son Abimelech. Now, Gideon fathered 70 sons with many wives, plus this one son with a concubine from Shechem. After Gideon died, the land had rest for 40 years, yet God's people fell into apostasy. Abimelech seized control, but he'll prove how pride goes before destruction. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to help us to shut out all distractions and just focus on your word, and by your spirit, teach us your ways and implant these things in our heart and into our remembrance that we might walk with you closely, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So I've divided our study for this evening into six parts. It's kind of long, but we'll get through it. First, we have Abimelech exalts himself, verses 1 through 6. Then Jotham warns Shechem, verses 7 through 21. After that, we have God resists Abimelech, verses 22 through 29. And then we have Abimelech digs in, verses 30 through 38. Then Abimelech lashes out, verses 39 through 49. And the last part is Abimelech goes down, verses 50 to 57. Since we have so many verses to cover, we'll get through them with concise overviews of each section. So don't worry, we'll get out of here on time. So let's take the first part. Abimelech exalts himself, verse 1. Then Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to his mother's brothers and spoke with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, "Please speak in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. Which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal reign over you, or that one reign over you? Remember that I am your own flesh and bone." And his mother's brothers spoke all these words concerning him in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. And their heart was inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our brother." So they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal-Berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men, and they followed him. Then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the 70 sons of Jerubbaal, on one stone. But Jotham, his youngest son, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left because he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, all of Beth Millo, and they went and made Abimelech king besides the terebinth tree at the pillar that was in Shechem. So after Gideon's death in chapter 8, Israel played the harlot with the Baals and forgot the Lord their God. Again, this pattern of up and down, in and out, following the Lord, turning away from him. Here they are again. They wanted to make Gideon their king back in chapter 8 and his sons after him, but he declined. So as Israel followed after foreign gods, Abimelech left Gideon's hometown and he went to Shechem, where his mother was from. And he arranged a meeting with his mother's brothers and their father, the family patriarch. Abimelech had a proposition, and he wanted his family to make a sales pitch to all the men in Shechem, trying to eliminate the possibility of any of his 70 half-brothers to assume leadership. He recommended himself for the job. The people of Shechem agreed, thinking it would be in their best interest. After all, he was from Shechem. His mother was from Shechem. So they gave Abimelech startup money from the temple dedicated to Baal, and he hired some thugs to help him kill his half-brothers, every one of them, at Ophrah. But Jotham, Gideon's youngest son, he hid himself, and he survived somehow. So the men of Shechem gathered with Beth Millo, and they made Abimelech king. So we're going to get through this quickly, so here's the second part. Jotham warns Shechem, verse 7. Now when they told Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and cried out. And he said to them, "Listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Should I cease giving my oil with which they honor God and men and go to sway over trees?' Then the tree said to the fig tree, 'You come and reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go to sway over trees?' Then the tree said to the vine, 'You come reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Should I cease my new wine which cheers both God and men and go to sway over trees?' Then all the trees said to the bramble, 'You come and reign over us.' And the bramble said to the trees, 'If in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon.'" So we don't know how old Jotham was when he escaped death at the hand of Abimelech, but he was a young man. We also don't know why some people survive a terrible plane crash while others perish. Our lives are truly in the Lord's hands, and we simply need to embrace each day as a gift from God and live it as unto Him. Jotham got word of Abimelech's selfish ambition to make himself a ruler over Israel, starting with Shechem. In this section, God uses Jotham to give the people of Shechem fair warning that they were heading down a dangerous path. Jotham stood up at Mount Gerizim, the place Moses called the Mount of Blessing in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 29. And Jotham cried out to the people of Shechem below. Now this altitude, it was low enough in elevation for his voice to carry, and it probably had a nice echo going on. Jotham spoke for God in the form of a parable. They desperately needed to hear Jotham's rebuke because God was no longer hearing them, if they were even talking to him at all. In the parable, the worthy trees are represented by the olive tree, the fig tree, and the vine. Other trees asked each of the worthy trees to reign over them, but every one of them declined. They all declined. So the other trees asked the bramble, and the bramble agreed, if they were sincere to count it worthy. But the bramble representing Abimelech could not be worthy, because all it was good for was starting fires. It was just a dry piece of wood. The bramble showed its true colors, threatening retaliation by fire if rejected. Let's continue on, verse 16. "Now therefore, if you have acted in truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done to him as he deserves, for my father fought for you, risked his life, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. But you have risen up against my father's house this day, and killed his 70 sons on one stone, and made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If then you have acted in truth and sincerity with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then by all means rejoice in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth Millo, and let fire come from the men of Shechem and from Beth Millo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled, and he went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. He got out of Dodge after he passed on this message that they needed to hear. As Jotham continues to address the people of Shechem, he challenges them all to evaluate the wisdom of choosing Abimelech as their king. Wasn't a good idea, but they weren't seeing it. Jotham knew that there was no truth or sincerity in Shechem's decision to yield to Abimelech, who cruelly killed Jotham's brothers. God only knows what Jotham saw when all his brothers were killed by Gideon's illegitimate son. Just because Abimelech's mom was from Shechem, the folks there considered him to be their brother. So they picked him to be king. A bad choice. Because Abimelech only cared about himself, and it was nothing for him to murder his father's sons. This is the guy they picked. Gideon did many good things for Shechem, and for all of Israel for that matter, but Shechem rose up against Gideon and his house. Now Jotham sarcastically told Shechem, if they really believed that they acted in truth and sincerity, then rejoice in Abimelech. But if not, Jotham cursed him, saying, let fire come from Abimelech to devour Shechem, and may he be devoured by Shechem's fire. It wasn't going to turn out well, according to this prophecy. So having said everything he had to say, Jotham fled to Beer, for he feared his half-brother Abimelech. So now we go to the third part. We have God resists Abimelech, verse 22. After Abimelech had reigned over Israel 3 years, God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the crime done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might be settled and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem who aided him in the killing of his brothers. And the men of Shechem set men in ambush against him on the tops of the mountains, and they robbed all who passed by them along that way, and it was told Abimelech. So after 3 years of tyrannical reign over a small part of Israel, God decided that Abimelech had had enough fun. It was time for this power-hungry murderer to discover firsthand just how God resists the proud and stiff-necked. The Lord simply could have taken away Abimelech's last breath, but his ways are not our ways. Instead, God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and it caused them to deal treacherously against him. So he's bringing the people of Shechem into it as well. They set men in ambush against Abimelech and his followers, and they robbed all who passed along the mountaintop trade routes. Abimelech heard about it, and his wrath was really stirred up by this time. But payback for his crimes was just beginning, and he didn't even know it. In verse 26, we see a new character here. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brothers and went over to Shechem. And the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. So they went out to the fields and gathered grapes from the vineyards, from their vineyards, and trod them and made merry. And they went into the house of their God and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal and is not Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But why should we serve him? If only this people were under my authority, then I would remove Abimelech. So he said to Abimelech, increase your army and come out. So God's resistance toward Abimelech continues to manifest itself through through a man named Gaal. Now, Gaal had these people with him. They were like marauders, and they went around wherever they could find easy targets. They would just do these things. They came onto the scene here at a time when Shechem had turned against Abimelech. So sensing an opportunity to seize the moment, Gaal impresses the men of Shechem, and they put their confidence in this guy. These guys are flaky, wishy-washy, bouncing all over the place. Gaal was a smooth talker, convincing Shechem that he was their missing piece to get rid of Abimelech. So they all made a pact, and they sealed the deal by eating, drinking, and cursing Abimelech. You can almost hear them all frothed up. Hip, hip, hooray for Gaal, they could have been saying as they talked some serious smack against Abimelech. Emboldened by wine, Gaal dared Abimelech to put him up and come outside. So, the fourth part now. Abimelech digs in. Verse 30. When Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was aroused. And he sent messengers to Abimelech secretly, saying, "Take note, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brothers have come to Shechem. And here they are, fortifying the city against you. Now therefore, get up by night, you and the people who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be, as soon as the sun is up in the morning, that you shall rise early and rush up upon the city. And when he and the people who are with him come out against you, you may then do to them as you find opportunity." So word got out that Gaal had laid down the gauntlet against Abimelech. But not everyone in Shechem was pleased. Zebul was like the mayor or the city manager of Shechem, and he had Abimelech's back. Zebul passed on the news to his boy Abimelech regarding the coup that was brewing against him by the men of Shechem. Zebul even plotted a battle strategy that Abimelech could use to get the first blow in against Gaal. Not being at all loyal to his people. This is Zebul. He's a city manager. He was not loyal to his people there. He was throwing the men of Shechem under the bus. He advised Abimelech to lie in wait with his goons, rush the city at daybreak, and then to do whatever is necessary to take control. Verse 34. So Abimelech and all the people who were with them rose by night and lay in wait against Shechem in four companies. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance to the city gate. Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw people, he said to Zebul, "Look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains." But Zebul said to him, "You see the shadows of the mountains as if they were men." So Gaal spoke again and said, "See, people are coming down from the center of the land, and another company is coming from the diviner's terebinth tree." Then Zebul said to him, "Where indeed is your mouth now, with which you said, 'Who is Abimelech, that we should serve him?' Are not these the people whom you despise? Go out, if you will, and fight with them now." So after being warned, Abimelech heeds the advice of Zebul by mustering all of his men for a nighttime meeting. After dividing his men into four companies, they all lay in wait against Shechem. When Gaal shows up with his men, they had no idea what they were walking into, this trap that was being set up for them. As Gaal stood at the entrance to the city gate, Abimelech and his gang arose, and they were making their way towards the city. It was still very early and there wasn't much light, but Gaal could see movement up in the mountains. Zebul, who was also at the gate, told Gaal that he was just seeing shadows and not people. Don't worry about it. But as Gaal kept looking, he told Zebul that there were definitely people coming their way. Now Zebul says, "Yep, and it's Abimelech. So put your money where your mouth is and go out and fight him." So all of a sudden this guy's going to be in a world of hurt. That brings us to the fifth part. Abimelech lashes out, verse 39. So Gaal went out, leading the men of Shechem, and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled from him, and many fell wounded to the very entrance of the gate. Then Abimelech dwelt in Aroma, and Zebul drove out Gaal and his brothers so that they would not dwell in Shechem. And it came about on the next day that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. So he took his people, divided them into three companies, and lay in wait in the field. And he looked, and there were the people coming out of the city, and he rose against them and attacked them. Then Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city. And the other two companies rushed upon all those who were in the fields and killed them. So Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and killed the people who were in it. And he demolished the city and sowed it with salt. So this is a bad turn of events. Poor Gaal, he talked really big, but he bit off way more than he could chew when he was pressed to fight Abimelech. We all have to watch out, because that pride bug can be contagious, just as it was for Gaal. He and his men got spanked pretty bad by Abimelech's rowdy bunch, and Zebul forced them out of Shechem for good. That's probably the best thing that could have happened to Gaal and his bunch, because Abimelech wasn't done with Shechem, not by a long shot. The day after the battle, when things seemed to be safe, people from Shechem began going out into the field. When Abimelech heard about it, he divided his men into three companies, and they lay in wait again. As far as Abimelech was concerned, the people of Shechem committed treason against him, and they were going to have to pay for it. Wasn't going to be pretty. As more townsfolk came out into the field, probably to work, Abimelech and his men pounced on them like tigers. Two companies of men killed everyone in the field, with Abimelech, his crew, killing everyone else inside the city. Shechem suddenly was tore up from the floor up, and Abimelech sowed it with salt to make it barren. He just destroyed the place. He wanted to be king of it, and he destroyed it because it wasn't going his way. Verse 46. Now when all the men of the Tower of Shechem had heard that, they entered the stronghold of the temple of the god Bareth. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the Tower of Shechem were gathered together. Then Abimelech went up to Mount Zaman, he and all the people who were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bough from the trees, and took it and laid it on his shoulders. Then he said to the people who were with him, "What you have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done." So each of the people likewise cut down his bough and followed Abimelech, put them against the stronghold, and set the stronghold on fire above them, so that all the people of the Tower of Shechem died, about 1,000 men and women. This is a massacre. So whatever, whoever was still alive in Shechem, they made their way to this tower dedicated to Baal worship. Now back in Judges chapter 8, verse 33, Israel made a covenant with Baal Berith, and they foolishly made it their god. Believing the Tower of Shechem would provide them protection, these 1,000 souls put their hope in a false god. Abimelech was hell-bent on killing every last person in Shechem, and he instructed his men to place large tree limbs at the base of the tower. Abimelech then set the stronghold on fire, and he horrifically fulfilled the warning of Jotham back in verse 20. By now, Abimelech was like a man possessed, but unbeknownst to him, his time was almost up. That brings us to the sixth and final part. We have Abimelech goes down, verse 50. Then Abimelech went to Thebez, and he camped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower in the city, and all the men and women, all the people of the city, fled there and shut themselves in. Then they went up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it. And he drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of me, 'A woman killed me.'" Oh, the shame. So his young men thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed, every man to his place. So just like the reckless gambler who doesn't know when to quit while he's ahead, Abimelech was heading toward ruin. Seeking to enlarge his territory, Abimelech sets his sights on a small city near Shechem called Thebez. His evil intention was to take it down, but it too had a strong tower, just as in Shechem. When word got out to the people of Thebez that they were going to be attacked, they fled in haste to their tower, and they shut themselves in for protection. No problem for Abimelech, the fire starter and expert at attacking towers and killing helpless people. He's played this movie before. He knows what to do. But as he drew near to torch the tower, a certain woman, unnamed, she just tossed a millstone right from above, and it made a direct hit on top of Abimelech's head. His skull was crushed, but he was still alive, and his final thoughts were driven by pride or embarrassment. Not wanting to be told that he was killed by a woman, he ordered his armor bearer to finish him off. That would have been funny if that was a woman. So he thrust his sword through his commander, and Abimelech was dead. After that, all Israel departed, every man to his place. This three-year party hosted by Abimelech was finally over for Israel and Shechem. Now, verse 56, it says, "Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers. And all the evil of the men of Shechem, God returned on their own heads. And on them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal." So, unbelievers act like if they just don't believe in God, nothing can happen to him. Just because someone chooses not to believe in God's warnings doesn't make them exempt from receiving God's just judgments. In God's perfect timing, he repaid Abimelech's treachery against his father and for the cold-blooded murdering of his brothers. Shechem also did evil in their choosing Abimelech and supporting him as its leader. And God brought them down as well for disregarding his warnings through Jotham. They had a chance and they blew it off. The bottom line for all of us to remember at all times that the Lord is in control, and he brings down those who exalt themselves in his time. And it's just a matter of time. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. God is on the throne. But what a chapter depicting the rise and the fall of Abimelech, whom God used for a short season. Abimelech finagled his way into leadership by gaining the confidence of the people of Shechem, who then made him their king. But for Abimelech, it was never about what was best for Shechem, but what was only best for him. He lifted himself up over the people, and he destroyed anyone who might have gotten in his way. He's an evil man, it turns out. Even though he was a judge over Israel, he did much evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, Jesus gave us the formula for godly leadership in Matthew 23, verses 11 and 12. He said, "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted." So the idea is to serve others and not try to please yourself or be prideful of yourself. Wicked Abimelech served no one but himself. Yet it was the Lord working through him in spite of him. God did that with Pharaoh as well when his people were in bondage to Egypt. When Pharaoh's time was up, God delivered his people with his mighty hand and his outstretched arm. And it was over. His time was up. Pride brought down Pharaoh and Abimelech and Shechem. So let's check our heart for pride, because God can bring us down as well. We know this is true because pride goes before destruction. Amen.